read some boilerplate, and then we'll do the simple questions. Okay. Today is 9 July, 2008. We're at the Atlantic Coast Bank at the corner of 8th and Center Street in Fernandina Beach, Florida. We're interviewing Mr. Bill Williams, who was born on 5 June, 1934, in Detroit, Michigan. My name is Edgar Johnson, and I'll interview Mr. Williams on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Robert Hamer, who will operate the recording equipment. I will now begin the interview. Mr. Williams, what was your period of service?
I served almost 9 years on active duty and 5 years in the Air National Guard.
And what years were those?
1956 to 1970.
Okay. And during which conflicts did you serve?
I got in right at the tail end of the Korean conflict. I was in for most of the Vietnamese conflict. The one I was most involved in was the Cuban crisis.
Okay. And what was your final rank?
Captain.
Captain. And where did you serve?
I spent most of my time in the Strategic Air Command at Plattsburgh Air Force Base in New York, but we spent a lot of time in Greenland as part of our job, and then with the Air National Guard, we spent a lot of time in Germany as part of our job.
Okay. Could you tell us how you came to join the Air Force?
Well, we either joined or got drafted when I was a young man, unless you had a deferment, which I didn't have, and I knew I was going to have to go in the military at some point, and I saw a billboard with the guy crawling down off the side of a jet airplane, and I said, well, if I've got to go, that looks like the thing I'd like to do, and so I enlisted and eventually got into the pilot training program.
Okay. Where did you go for your initial training in the Air Force?
Initially, as an enlisted man, I went to San Antonio, Texas. And then I went into the aviation cadet program to become a pilot, also was in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay. Did any of your friends join with you?
No.
Okay. Was this your first time away from home?
Yes.
Okay. Could you tell us what that was like?
It's a lonesome feeling. It takes 3 or 4 months to get over it, I think, before you become more of a man of the world.
Mm-hmm. What was the food like at that point?
I was fortunate. We always got good food, and I used to write letters home, and we go through them now, and almost every letter starts out with what they fed us and how good it was.
And that's an unusual experience, I think, for many in the military. Did you make any long-term friends while you were in basic training?
Oh, yes, yes. Friends that I still have today after 40-some years, 50 okay. years, actually.
Okay. Now, did you go from basic training to the Air Cadet program?
No, I went from basic training, and they made me a tow reel operator. We towed targets. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about a year while I went through the process of applying for and being accepted as an aviation cadet.
What did you do when you were towing targets?
Well, I didn't do anything. I didn't have a high enough rank. It kind of fell to the sergeants to get in the airplane and actually tow the target. I did things like run out on the runway when an airplane was ready to take off and plug in a cable so that he could tow the target off. Or swept floors, things of that sort.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about the Air Cadet program?
Well, now, the Air Cadet program was left over from World War II when they needed a lot of pilots. They were losing a lot. The 8th Air Force was losing a lot of pilots. And they started competitively taking gentlemen. They would take exams, and the ones that did the best would get into the Aviation Cadet program. It was patterned after West Point. But at West Point, you get a 4-year college program. In the aviation cadet, you got 2 years, during which time you learned to fly and learned to be an officer, and at the end of the program, you were commissioned a second lieutenant with your wings.
Mm-hmm. Where did you take that program?
It was 3 bases. I went back to San Antonio again mm-hmm. for pre-flight. Then I went to Mariana, Florida for basic flight training in T-34s and T-28s. Then I went to Greenville, Air Base in Greenville, Mississippi, in T-33s, single-engine jet.
Okay. What was it like during that training?
Well, it's very it's a very disciplinary program. About half the guys wash out because they only want the guys that will stick with it. Mm-hmm. You wind up having to salute drinking fountains and asking them for permission to get a drink and counting bumps on a wall and hopping like a rabbit. So it's just things that they're debasing, but they teach you to take orders.
Okay. In other words, they want to make sure you're motivated.
Exactly.
Okay. Did you enjoy that program?
It's one of those experiences you say, I wouldn't take $1 million for it, and I wouldn't give you 2 cents to do it over.
Okay. Where did you graduate from that program?
Greenville Air Base, Mississippi.
Yeah. And what happened after graduation?
Well, I went into advanced training in tankers, KC-97s, for in-flight refueling. That was also in San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. Then I went to the Strategic Air Command in Plattsburgh, New York, where I spent most of my career.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about what your duties were like during that assignment?
Well, I started out as a co-pilot, and I did what co-pilots do. But interestingly enough, we always had a navigator on board. One of our jobs was to shoot the stars. We actually, in flight, we'd have a sextant, and we'd get up there, and the co-pilot would shoot the stars. After about 5 years, I checked out as an aircraft commander, and then I was just, what the word says, I was the aircraft commander.
Mm-hmm. And where were you stationed during this time?
Plattsburgh Air Force Base in New York, upstate New York. But we used to go on reflex, we call it, temporary duty to Greenville, Mississippi, and Brives Norton, England.
Okay. And now, what did you enjoy most about that assignment?
Oh, I was flying. I was being a pilot.
Okay. What was the least enjoyable?
I can't give you a good answer for that. I think I enjoyed it all.
Okay. What was the most fun during that time?
Well, flying is always challenging, and it's always fun. And that's been my life, basically, from then on. I've always enjoyed flying. I never considered it work.
Okay. Are there anything you particularly remember about that period of time?
Well, since it was a military program, our job was to refuel bombers on their way to the target so that they could get halfway around the world without landing and getting extra fuel. And the airplanes that we used were designed to take off at 130,000 pounds, but the military took them off at 230,000 pounds. And that was the most memorable thing, was some of those takeoff rolls used all of 13,000 feet of runway.
Okay. Were there any particular deployments or events that happened that you think were memorable from that?
Well, the most memorable one was when John F. Kennedy embargoed Cuba, and we were part of the alert force, and we almost went to war then. We actually launched as an alert force and went to a forward base about halfway towards our targets, which was Russia. Mm-hmm. And the bombers that we refueled used to be all kept together. They dispersed them. They went to every little airport in the country that had enough runway for them to get off and on, and that was just so they wouldn't all be caught in one place. We came very, very close to going to a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm. Are there any stories about that era that you tell your friends or your children that you think were memorable?
I don't talk about it much, but I've seen a few airplanes blow up in flight that I was in formation with, and that's memorable. But I don't talk much about it.
Okay. Was that your only assignment while you were in the Air Force?
Yeah. After I got out of training, which takes up the first 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. the rest of the active duty was either flying KC-97s, which was a propeller-driven tanker, or KC-135, which was the first. It was actually the 707, the jet tanker.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to get out of the Air Force?
Well, I had my obligation was fulfilled, and American Airlines was hiring pilots.
Okay. That sounds like a straightforward reason. Now, you continued with the Air National Guard.
Yes.
After that. What were your duties like with the Air National Guard?
Instead of refueling bombers, we were refueling fighters. And we would orbit somewhere near where the fighters were, had their target, so that they could come up after they got low on fuel, they'd come up and get some more fuel and then go back to their target.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed you stayed in the Air National Guard until 1970. What was the reason for leaving the Air National Guard?
The main reason is my wife and I had just had a daughter, and they were calling people up individually that were single-engine jet qualified because they were losing so many pilots in North Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And when you have your first child, your thinking changes on a lot of things.
Okay. Were you married while you were in the Air Force?
No, I didn't get married until after I got out.
Okay. How do you think the being in the military changed your life?
Oh, the aviation cadet program, I think everybody should go through that. It gives you background and discipline, and they even taught us manners. We had to use proper table manners.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you were still relatively young when you left the service, so that did that have any continuing influence on your civilian life and your career?
Well, and the fact that I learned to fly gave me my career as a pilot with American Airlines.
Mm-hmm. Have you maintained a continuing association with the military?
With my friends from the military, yes.
Okay. So you made some lifelong friends while you
were
there.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any second thoughts about your career choices?
No.
No? Okay. Could you say anything about life in the military with life as a civilian? Were there any differences that particularly stand out in your mind?
Just the discipline that you learn, particularly as a cadet. You're told to do something, you do it. You don't question it, you just do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when did you move to Amelia Island in Nassau County?
We bought our house here in April of 1992.
Okay. And what led you to move to here?
Well, my son was in pilot training in Jacksonville at Craig Aviation. So we came and visited him, and we checked out an airplane and came up here and shot some landings at the local airport. I'd never heard of Amelia Island or Fernandina Beach, but it was so pretty. We came over and looked at it and eventually bought property.
Okay. Now, could you tell us, are there any things you'd like to add about your service?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay. Any questions you think I should have asked you?
No, I think you've covered it pretty well.
Okay.
The technology, the aircraft that you're using for the refueling, do you know offhand if they've improved that through the years?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Everything in aviation is improved. But now they use, I think they use a KC-10.
Mm-hmm.
And they are currently letting contracts for the next generation of tankers, yeah. But it's, as you went through, and I was in aviation for 40-some years, and it started out everything was what you'd call analog, and it advanced to where everything is now digital, and it's actually computer-operated. The last airplane I flew, now the first airplane I flew, everything was hands-on. You had to control the airplane by hand, fly it by hand, make your instrument approaches by hand.
And that was a DC?
That was the T-28, T-34, T-33, KC-97.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But the last airplane I threw was a 767, and if you taxied that into position on the runway and pushed a button, the throttles would advance, the airplane would take off and climb, fly all the way to Paris, land, and come to a stop on the runway without you touching anything.
Sure.
I think that's quite an advance in technology.
Mm-hmm. What other equipment did you fly for American?
I flew everything they had from 64 to 94, which except the 747.
Mm-hmm.
I flew the DC-6, the DC-7, the Electra, the 727, and the 707. And interestingly enough, the industry was expanding at that time. I trained on all of those airplanes in 2.5 years. Then I went flew captain initially on the Bach 111, which was a British aircraft. Then I flew captain on the 727 for over 15,000 hours. Then I flew captain on a 757 and 767.
Now, do you still continue to fly?
I did when I got here. The first 10 years I was here, I flew in the Air National Civil Air Patrol.
Civil Air Patrol. Okay.
I stopped that about 5 years ago.
Okay. So you're still connected with aviation?
No. I don't even have my physical anymore. Every now and then I think about it, but nope, that's my past.
Okay. Any stories about your career you'd like to share with us?
Well, I may be the only living person who's had 3 out of 4 engines fail twice.
That sounds very exciting.
During the Cuban crisis, we launched and went to Goose Bay, Labrador. And if it weren't a crisis, we probably wouldn't have been flying in that weather. The ceiling was so low, but there was happened to be heavy, wet snow, and it clogged up the intakes, the air intakes on the engines on the 97. And 3 of the engines actually failed. And if we hadn't been in a descent on final approach, we would have never been. They failed when you pull the power back. As long as there was plenty of power on the engine, it got air. But we pulled the power back, the intakes got clogged. And that one engine that continued running got us to the end of the runway. Now, as just to make a story out of it, about 25 years later, I was flying an Air National Guard to Hawaii, KC-97, and because of the airplane just having come out of a complete overhaul, they put in new spark plugs, and when we pulled the power back to descend into Honolulu, 3 of the 4 engines threw what we call the throw a jug. We lost cylinders and had to shut them down. And here we are again in the same situation with one engine, fortunately in a descent, got to the end of the runway.
Okay. Wow. It sounds like you had some exciting times.
That day turned out to be one of the happiest days of my life, because that's the only time the crew credited me with saving their lives. They all took me out to dinner, bought me drinks all evening. I was never so proud or so happy in my life.
Sounds like you deserved it. Okay. Any other stories you'd like to share?
Not in the Air Force. Once I got with the airlines, I had maybe I was jinxed. I don't know. I had a mid-air collision in 1971 going into Newark, and that wound up in court for years. And then about 5 years later, I had a mid-ground collision. I call it a truck hit me and knocked the engine off while I was taxiing in at O'Hare. And these things always wind up in court for years after, but I never lost in court or missed any flying time.
The mid-air collision sounds kind of exciting.
Yes, yeah. We were going into Newark at 3,000 feet, and a light airplane was training. He shouldn't have been in the clouds. He was in the clouds. If he wasn't in the clouds, he would have seen us. But he was in the clouds. He was legal to 3,000 feet, and we were legal at 3,000 feet. And he didn't see us and ran into us. And unfortunately, it cut his airplane in half.
Do you continue to travel, on any past benefits or things like that?
We have past benefits. 25 years with American Airlines gives you an unlimited pass any place in the world for the rest of your life. You pay for meals and taxes and whatnot. But I retired in 1994. I've probably been on an airplane 3 times since then.
Okay. No desire anymore.
Well, I saw it from the air so many times, I want to see it from the ground. Right. We drove to California a few years back and took 22 days to drive to California to see all these things that I used to see as I flew over and go to the old restaurants I used to hang out in.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other hobbies here on the island? Anything else you do? You
My boat. I have a boat, big boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's been wedged, and I'm in the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Spent a lot of time with the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Okay, good. Okay, anything else?
Well, we've covered a lot of ground.
Well, you've been an interesting subject.
No, I think we covered just about everything I wrote down, too. When I came here originally in 1992, I was still flying, and mm-hmm. I commuted to Miami, flying to Europe and South America. Mm-hmm. So I used to go out to the airport and hitchhike to work. The pilots could ride free.
Right.
And I would wind up going to work on either American Eagle or U.S. Air.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed, and thank you for your service to the country. It's been a privilege to interview you.
Well, thank you very much.